1-1 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right field. Way up there. Way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here. Glad to have you. Last podcast of the week. And it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's interesting. I'll let you be the judge. Maybe it's not. We'll see. Thanks for being here nonetheless. Mariners fall to the Giants yesterday, so they split the series. We'll talk briefly about that ball game, and we'll hear from Lloyd McClendon as things didn't start out very well before the ball game and didn't get any better through the ball game. So we'll talk about that. A big, big weekend coming up, so we'll take a quick glance at the pitching matchups coming up this weekend as the Mariners take on the Houston Astros for three games over the weekend at Safeco Field, so we'll talk about that. And I am going to take a piece of advice from Aaron Goldsmith in this one. He suggested at some point, if I had time, which as it turns out I do in this podcast, is to, if you... I have the equivalent of what most people have in their basement. You know, if they go down in their basement, there are all kinds of stuff lying around and, you know, boxes and whatever else you may have in your basement or your attic or whatever. I have that equivalent with montage. I have old montages from 4, 5, 6 years ago lying around, and he suggested it'd be fun to bring a few back if I had time. So I'm going to do that in this podcast. We're going to revisit three different montage slash features. One of them is not too long ago when Ken Griffey Jr. went into the Mariners Hall of Fame. That one wasn't that long ago, but I didn't listen to that one in a long time. So I'm going to play that one. I'm going to play one about Brendan Ryan's defense. He's a shortstop. I always really enjoyed watching defensively. I thought he was a real wizard there. And that's one position where it's just when you get a guy that plays it at that level, just so elegant at the position, it's so fun to watch. So that comes up. And also, although his time in Seattle was brief, Russell Branyan made his mark with his power. So I put together a feature. This was years ago. I think 2010 this must have been, I think. When he had just some massive home runs, including one at Yankee Stadium that was hard to believe when you saw it. So three big montages were dusting off that are coming back on the podcast. So hopefully you enjoy that. The game last night, a game that the Mariners didn't enjoy, and it was unfortunate the way it developed because we talked about in the podcast yesterday about left-handed hitters against Vogelsong have really taken advantage of him this year, batting nearly .300. And then before the game, you learn Robinson Cano's out with the back. Kyle Seager's out sick. Nelson Cruz sick as well. But the two lefties out of the lineup, in particular Seager, that was rough. And for Seager, 192 straight games, the second longest streak in the majors, goes by the wayside. Talk about Iron Man. And really had no chance to play because he was sent home. Lloyd McClendon will talk about that in just a second. He's hoping to have him back for today. So a pretty shorthanded crew against the Giants in game two here, game four overall, four straight days against San Francisco. And the Mariners, just no match offensively. Just cobbled together five hits, all singles, really shut down. Mike Montgomery gives the M's another really good start. The final numbers, I don't think, really indicate the type of start he had. 7 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, a couple walks and a strikeout. He gave up 3 in the second, but a dropped ball on a double play should have gotten him out of that inning. gave up three and then a four spot on the board in the eighth inning. He gave up one more in the eighth. But it was impressive because he threw a lot of pitches in the second inning, but settled into a nice groove, got really efficient, and got into the eighth inning. That was an impressive start. He's pitched really well in the rotation for the Mariners. But a game where the M's go down 7-0 to the San Francisco Giants. Here was a skipper, Lloyd McClendon, after the game.
Well, I thought he was outstanding tonight. He did a tremendous job for us. For the most part, kept the ball down. Settled down after that shaky second inning and really gave us some quality innings.
How much better was his off-speed stuff tonight compared to the last
time? Well, I think his off-speed stuff has been pretty good throughout. I probably would like to see him throw a few more curveballs tonight, but the changeup was good. I thought his fastball early in the game had real good life on it. Sure he did. Yeah, he's been a very pleasant surprise for us. That's four starts that I would consider very quality starts. And certainly gave us an opportunity to win a ball game tonight. We just couldn't get any hits. So.
He should have been out of that inning too, right?
Sure. Yeah. I think if you ask Brad about that, he'd tell you he probably should have turned that. Yeah.
Hey, Tom's had a couple of rough ones here back-to-back. Any concern? You see anything that links the two?
Well, you know, obviously in San Francisco, he didn't have command. Tonight, I'm not sure what exactly went on, but just maybe a little confusion on what he wanted to throw and when he wanted to throw it. That's something we got to get straightened out tomorrow.
Hey, lineup-wise, you lost two starters right before the game, and you guys have been struggling times to score runs anyway. That's it.
Yeah, you know.
What are those two guys doing?
Well, we sent Seager home with some IV bags and medicine. Robbie's back, he rinsed his back pretty good. And really, looking back, I probably shouldn't have played Cruz. You know, he was throwing up as well right before the game. So, but, you know, he was toughed it out and tried to give us what he had. So.
When did Robbie hurt
back? Well, he came in the day it locked up on him. Yeah, had some work done on it yesterday. Was feeling better than the day it locked up on.
Cruz and Seager have some kind of bug? Or?
I hope it's just a 24-hour bug, yes.
Had to put Ackley at second. He looked like hadn't been 2 years since he played there.
Looked like Bill Mazeroski did. He did a nice job. He really did. I thought he, you know, front end of that double play did a nice job, nice feet. Went up in the middle, made a nice play. He did okay.
Did you guys help Vogelsong out, or was he just on?
Well, I thought, you know, Vogie, and I know Vogie very well, he settled down. You know, we gave him an opportunity to settle down. And he started hitting his spots. And when he's hitting his spots, he's pretty tough.
Any idea on Canoe for tomorrow or anything?
My hope is that all those guys will be back in there tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, obviously, right now it's day-to-day.
Yeah, so now attention is turned to the Houston Astros. Starting tonight, 7:10 first pitch. We'll take the air at 6 o'clock for the pregame show. It's also Star Wars night at Safeco Field and fireworks. This should be a fun night. And if you're into Star Wars at all, I mean, there's going to be characters everywhere. I may have to battle stormtroopers to get up to the booth tonight. I don't know what it's going to look like. I may need to hitch a ride on the Millennium Falcon to get me up to the booth. I don't know. We'll see. But it should be a fun night. From Safeco Field, Rennis Elias on the hill, 3-4, a 3.67 ERA against Lance McCullers, 3-1, a 2.00. Mariners saw him in Houston, effectively wild, walked four, didn't give up a hit in five innings as the Astros pounded the M's in that ball game. So we'll see what McCullers has in store for the M's tonight, and then tomorrow, Taijuan Walker, who's been brilliant, and he's probably going to need to be. On Saturday, 7:10 first pitch, he's 4-6, a 5.00 ERA. Doesn't tell the story about how good he's been as of late. Dallas Keuchel, 8-2 with a 2.04 ERA. The lefty is going to take the mound for Houston on Saturday. He has been absolutely sensational so far for the Houston Astros. And right now, if you're talking about Cy Young front runners, or if you're talking about who's going to start the All-Star game for the American League, Dallas Keuchel is in the conversation. If I had to put together a ranking right now of who should start the All-Star game in the American League, this is how I would go. I would go Sonny Gray first. It's just, it's so hard to deny with the numbers he's putting up. A 1.60 ERA, which is sick. He's closing in on 100 pitches. Batting average against below 200. His whip, 0.93. He has been unbelievable. I would have Chris Archer second on the list. 116 Ks in 95 innings. He's been truly dominant. Pretty sick numbers, a 2.18 ERA. And I'd probably have Dallas Keuchel third on the list, 2.04 ERA. Already over 100 innings pitched this season and 14 starts. Opponents batting .193 against him, a 0.95 whip. But some people will probably have him first, some people second, maybe some people a little lower. But to me, he's in the top three in terms of Cy Young slash All-Star game conversation. Gray, Keuchel, Archer, that is how good Dallas Keuchel has been. The lefty's been sensational and makes it even more of a difficult matchup for the Mariners on Saturday. So they'll have their hands full. And then on Sunday, Jay Happ will take the hill again. He has been truly magnificent at home. So he's back in the friendly confines of Safeco Field on Sunday, Father's Day, 1:10 first pitch from the safe. So that sets you up for a big three games against the Houston Astros. Mariners got a series taken from them in Houston. They'd like to take one back in Seattle against Houston, and it starts tonight. So here we go. Let's relive some montage. Let's start with Ken Griffey Jr. That's a great place to start. Here it is, the Ken Griffey Jr. career montage.
I don't think there's any doubt it's got to be Ken Griffey Jr. because I saw him as a 17-year-old kid. He came up as a 19-year-old kid.
You know he's got to be nervous. The wind and the 0-1 pitch swung on and a fly ball into deep left center field. Back she goes, and it's off the base of the wall, 375 from home plate. Griffey on its second with a one-out double. Welcome to the big leagues, Ken Griffey Jr. Seattle, this kid's for real.
Swung on and belted deep to left field. Pedal to the track, the wall, fly away. Welcome to Seattle, Ken Griffey Jr. My, oh my.
You know, just electrified everybody.
Here's the pitch on the way, swinging a fly ball deep in the left field. Way back, going back. Goodbye, baseball. They do it. The Griffeys with back-to-back home runs. And the story continues to get better and better and better.
Run like a deer, play defense, crashed into walls.
Slider swung on and a high fly ball hit into deep left center field. Back goes Griffey. He's back to the wall. Makes the leap, and does he make the catch? He does! My, oh my, another Griffey piece of magic as Ken Griffey Jr. takes a home run away from Jesse Barfield.
Hit home runs.
There it goes! See you later! Upper deck! Griffey has tied the major league record! Holy cow, the kid has done it! Home runs in 8 consecutive games!
Enjoy the tour, son, enjoy the tour.
Swung on and belted! Deep to right! Junior has hit number 100! My, oh my!
Just played with complete abandon, and you could see the joy of playing the game in his eyes.
Swung on and a fly ball hit deep into the gap in right center field. The kid on his horse back to the warning track. The wall makes the leap and makes an unbelievable catch. My, oh my, he is down at the 380 marker, and it's one of the most incredible catches you will ever want to see.
Junior right down on the knob of the bat, waving that black beauty right out toward Pavlik. Has it cocked, and Pavlik is set. The pitch on the way to Ken Griffey Jr., and it's swung on and belted deep to right field. Get out the ride, Brett Grandma. It is grand salami time.
Here goes Joey. The pitch swung on and belted
deep to right field. The Mariners have done it. Fly away. Junior with a two-run home run. The Mariners win it 9-7. My, oh, my.
Ken Griffey Jr., athlete.
Hey, Nick. This is a Griffey for President commercial. You know he's running for president, right?
Swung on and lined off the glove of the third baseman Ortiz. Here comes Strange. The Mariners win it 5-4. My, oh my!
The Mariners are one game back
of the California Angels.
And the 0-1 pitch on the way to Edgar Martinez. Swung on and lined down the left field line for a base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh, my.
When I look back on Kenny's career, big smile comes over my face. And the biggest reason why is because he was one of the best teammates that I've ever had. I know everybody can look at the numbers that he's put up, first ballot Hall of Famer and all that stuff, but he was also a great teammate and a great friend.
And the 2-2 pitch by Ayala, swing and a fly ball hit deep into right center field, and Junior going back, got way back to the track. The wall, and makes the catch, splatters into the wall, hangs on to the ball. My, oh my, a great catch by Junior. Here comes the 3-0 pitch to Junior. He swings and a high fly ball belted Green to the track, the wall, number 56.
Here's the pitch on the way to Junior, swinging a drive deep to right field down the line. There it goes. Goodbye, baseball. He did it. Holy smoke, Ken Griffey Jr. with a three-run homer. Mariners take the lead. 3-2 over the Rangers. Number 377 for Junior. And there go the flashbulbs.
Greatest player I've ever seen. Period. Exclamation point. End of conversation. Junior, they say a player is great when he has five tools. Junior had about seven or eight because he had that ability to play the game with the joy of a little leaguer. You know, he always had that infectious smile on his face.
A swing and not a singer, a deaf rhyme bringer, a home run.
The one all on the way, Kenny swung on and belted deep to center field. Beltran to the wall, fly away. Number 398 for Junior.
And the pitch to Junior on the way. Swing and a fly ball into deep right center field. That baby is going to be fly away. The old-time religion lives. Junior does it. A two-run home run. And we are tied at 3-3. My, oh, my. Magic is back at least for a night as the Mariners tie it. At 3-3, the first pitch to Junior is hit over the center field.
And from one great defensive player to another, here's Brendan Ryan.
We delve into the wizardry that is Brendan Ryan's defense.
This set by Felix. Runner goes 3-2. Swinging a chopper out near second. Up with the ball, Ryan. He gets the tag on the runner. The throw to first. And it's in time. Double play. Holy smokes. Brendan Ryan got to the ball in front of the bag at second. Put the tag on a sliding arm bar. He went down to the ground. He got the throw off to smoke in time to double up Tiespo.
Brendan Ryan has been sensational defensively for the Mariners this year, making all the plays routine and spectacular.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a broken bat, ground ball to short, charging Ryan, the throw to first, in time, just in time to get D. Gordon. What a play by Brendan Ryan, charged in, and I mean he made the quickest transfer you'll ever want to see, and he gets Gordon at first base, one out, one away for the Dodgers here in the ninth inning.
The man who plays next to Brendan Ryan every day, Dustin Ackley at second base, describes Brendan Ryan with just one word.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's about all you can put it. I mean, he's just one of those guys that really can do it all out there. I mean, he can... He's got range. He gets all kinds of balls. He can throw from every angle. I mean, I think that's what separates him from pretty much every other defender in the league is that the balls he gets to that a lot of the guys are not going to get to.
Now the 1-1, swinging a chopper. In behind second, way to his left. Brendan Ryan, he's got it. The throw to first in time to get Chavez. That'll end the inning. Holy smokes, what a play.
And Kyle Seager talks about Brendan Ryan almost as if he can see the future.
Obviously, he's got all the, you know, the physical tools to play shortstop. He's quick. You know, he's got a good arm and, you know, he's got really good hands and whatnot. But, you know, I think what's even more special about him is, you know, his kind of anticipation of the game. You know, he really thinks things through, and, you know, he thinks, you know, quite a bit ahead of, like what's just in the natural play is. You know, he's always thinking about, you know, different scenarios, and you know, his mind goes in a lot of different directions where he can kind of comprehend a lot of things that could happen to keep him ahead of the game. You're kind of surprised by what he did, and it works. You know, like, you know, first and third ground ball hit to him, you know, instead of it's like chop, instead of like trying to, you know, just get it out of first or trying to force it a second, you know, he can throw him home a few times and get the guy there where, you know, it's not going to be an obvious double play ball. So, I mean, there's all sorts of different plays that he does where it's purely just him, you know, thinking and him being ahead of the game.
2-1 offer swung on, one hopper to short, taken barehanded by Ryan, the throw to first, and it's in time to get spanned. Brendan Ryan had the one hopper to his right. I was ready for a backhanded stop, but he barehanded the ball with his right hand.
And when you talk to Brendan Ryan about playing shortstop, you think maybe he can see the future.
For the most part, you know, you're seeing how the at-bat has gone, the way that, you know, the pitcher's stuff is going, and, you know, the movement, the locating and all that stuff. And then you're calling the pitch. I'm calling the pitch myself, what I would like to see called. And then you watch what the pitch is, and if he executes his pitch and his location, you're going to have a good idea of what that swing's going to be like. And if all that keeps going the way you see it going, then you see the ground ball happening before it happens, so you have an idea where it's going to go, what kind of ground ball it's going to be. I don't know if that made any sense just now, but made sense to me, and that's kind of how I'm going about each pitch. So hoping each one's going your way, you know.
Here's the pitch, swung on, a ground ball in the hole, backhanded by Ryan, long throw across the diamond, and it's in time. What a play by Ryan, going deep in the hole, leaping into the air and throwing a strike to first base.
Brendan Ryan, a sensational year at shortstop for the Mariners. Gold glove worthy.
Swinging a ground ball wide of third. Backhanded deep and short. Brendan Ryan, the throw to first. In time, and he got him. Holy smokes. Brendan Ryan continues to dazzle.
Now a bounding ball in the hole. Left side on the grass. The shortstop, Ryan, throw to first. Oh, baby, what a play.
Ground ball back up the middle. Off to his left near the bag at second. Ryan, sidearm, throw to first. And it's in time to get Upton. What a play by Brendan Ryan. He is so quick to the ball and so quick making that transfer and getting that throw on to smoke at first. So a fine play by Ryan.
Okay, so here it is. Last montage that we'll reminisce with in today's episode. I guess more of a feature, but here it is. Russell Branyan.
Russell Branyan's power. He smacked another long, long home run last night at Safeco Field.
Runner goes, 3-2 pitch, swung on, well hit ball, deep to right field, down the line, going and going, gone, off the windows of the Hit It Here Cafe. Holy smokes, what a shot off the bat of Russell. The muscle, Branyan, way out of here to right field.
Another big blast for Branyan, but according to Josh Barr, a teammate of his in three different spots, that's nothing.
That's a mere morsel compared to some. I mean, that's a pretty far one, but I've seen him hit some balls that, you know, like I said, defy what you think can happen to a baseball. I saw him hit a ball in Charlotte one time that was probably the farthest ball I've ever seen hit with my own two eyes. He went, they have like a 30-foot fence all the way around and then a jumbotron and then a thing up on top of that in dead center, and he went up over top of everything, and you know, it was like 570 feet. I mean, the ball is absolutely crushed. So you know, it's fun to watch him when he hits them far.
So how do you describe Russell Branyan's power? Hitting coach Alonzo Powell may say it best.
He has light tower power. You know, he's a guy that, you know, it doesn't matter where he hits it, you know, he can hit the ball out of the ballpark, you know. So he has tremendous power, you know, and I've seen Russell dating back, I think, since 99, you know, when he was in AAA with the Indians, and one of my last years playing, I was in Columbus. And, you know, you heard about this guy, you know, and I saw him and I watched him take batting practice, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's some special power right there. You know, I mean, you just look at the two balls that he hit in Yankee Stadium. You know, he's the only guy to hit it up into the glass up over Monument Park. And then the ball he hit up in, you know, right field, you know, we're not talking about the line either. You know, he hit that ball in pretty much straight right or a little bit off center of right. And, you know, it's going to be a long time, you know, before anybody ever hits the ball up there.
Now the windup and the 3-1 pitch on the way. Swing and a drive deep to right field. Swisher doesn't even turn around. It's in the third deck. Holy smokes! A towering home run by Russell the Muscle Brannion. Make it the fourth deck in right field. Unbelievable!
And where does he fit in the history of Mariner home run hitters? Rick Riz checks in.
Junior had a lot of home runs, obviously one of the greatest all time in baseball history. So he hit those, you know, parabolic shots, those high arcing shots as well. But the guy that really stands out in my mind is Jay Buhner. We were in Yankee Stadium, Wade Taylor was pitching, and it was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen. Hit it way out to left field over the two bullpens at Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, and there was an ambulance that was parked right at the door that opens up that leaves the stadium, and he short hopped that ambulance in left field. It was one of the longest home runs I've ever seen.
How about the man himself? Russell Brannion is pretty humble. He doesn't like talking about home runs.
That doesn't really matter to me. I mean, that's for the fans to enjoy. That's for you guys to enjoy. That's for my teammates to enjoy. I mean, I really enjoy watching one of my teammates hit a long home run. I mean, I enjoy that more than when I do it. I just feel like home runs are an accident, you know. Definitely never trying to hit home runs. And when they go far, it's just, you know, culmination of doing everything right. You know, everything coming together, you know, getting a good pitch to hit. But, you know, they come and they go. I don't like to dwell on them, just like, you know, other facets of the game. But, you know, it's part of the game. It's a home run. It's a one run scored. And I don't like to get caught up and you know, in the thoughts of hitting home runs and trying to hit home runs and trying to generate that, because, you know, when I fall into that trap, I really start to struggle at the plate.
See you later!